Transform the way you hunt with the all-new Base cellular trail camera connected by the Moultrie mobile app. Moultrie Mobile's industry-best app gives you complete control over your camera settings, up-to-the-minute updates from the field, and other interactive scouting tools on your smartphone or computer. Features like weather forecast, advanced species recognition, interactive maps, and a whole lot more. For more information and to make your purchase, visit www.moultriemobile.com.
Outdoor Edge knows that providing a freezer full of meat is part of the reason we all hunt. And what better way to bring it full circle than to process your own wild game? Outdoor Edge provides a full lineup of traditional and replaceable blade hunting knives and complete wild game processing kits to bring your wild game from the field to the freezer. Visit OutdoorEdge.com and at checkout, enter the discount code NATION30 for 30% off.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast brought to you by Tacticam. This is your home for all things outdoors in the Badger State, and I am your host, Josh Rayleigh. I am fresh off of a week on vacation with the family. We went up to Door County, had an incredible time there, stayed in Fish Creek, which if you've never stayed in Fish Creek, highly recommend it. It's a pretty cool spot. Got to hang out with the family, got to hang out with my parents, which was cool. They drove all the way up from Alabama to be with us for the week. Lots of cool stuff to do with the kids up there. We went on a trolley ride. We did some exploring on Washington Island, ate a lot of good food, hung out around the campfire. So fantastic time. I'm back here now in southern Wisconsin, feeling all charged up and ready to go. And hey, excited to bring you this week's episode. This week I'm talking with Max Kulik. Dude lives here in Wisconsin with his family. And I tell you what, these guys are doing a fantastic job of doing something that's really important to me and my family as well, and that is getting their kids involved in the outdoors. They are out foraging, they are out hunting, they are out fishing, they are out gardening, and doing all of that with their kids in tow. They're also doing some camping, which is awesome, with their kids in tow. And yes, I've been watching this guy on Instagram, seeing everything that he and his wife are doing, and man, it's just fantastic. I love it, and I wanted to get him on, especially here during the summertime when, you know, a lot of us are thinking, how do I get my kids outside, right? How do I engage my kids in the outdoors? And I don't know about you, but that's an important thing for me, not just from a hunting perspective. Like, yes, I want my kids to be exposed to hunting. At the same time, I want my kids to do a lot more than just hunt. I want them to fish. I want them to hike. I want them to kayak and canoe. I want them to love to forage. I want them to enjoy gardening out in our own yard. And I just want them to be more closely connected to the earth, more closely connected to where their food is coming from, and to get their faces up out of the screens, which, you know, we do a pretty good job of limiting screen time, but I think that replacing that screen time with green space time is one of the best things that we can do for our children. So that's what Max and I get into today. Great conversation with him. He's got a lot of good ideas, and if you want to learn more and keep up with what he is doing, you can check he and his wife out on Instagram at Kulik by Nature. The guy is also, man, I tell you, he's a great guest. He's one of those guys where conversation just flows super, super smoothly and very naturally. In fact, towards the end of our conversation, we had to have things called off by our spouses because we were getting a little bit long-winded here. So anyway, looking forward to having him back on again. Before we jump into this episode, though, I do have some news to share with you as listeners of the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast. First of all, I just want to thank you for your support over the last year or so, a little longer than a year that we've been doing this. We're coming up on 50 episodes. I think this is episode number 43 or something like that. So in the big scheme of things, we really haven't been doing this very long, but the support has been tremendous. I appreciate all of you listening, and I'm kind of taking a weird step. I have decided to step away from my current position, from my current employment, and pursue this outdoor industry thing full time. And that would not be possible without all of you listening. Wouldn't be possible without you sharing these episodes. Wouldn't be possible without our partners who have decided to partner with this program. So I wanted to give a big shout out not only to you as the listeners, but also to our partners. First of all, Tacticam, they are the title sponsor of this show. Could not be more happy to be working with Tacticam. They produce excellent, excellent products. I've actually been using their 5.0 and the 5.0 wide cameras to practice this summer. So I've been using the 5.0 with the bendy clip mostly, and I've been sticking it on a tree either in front of me or behind me as I am as I'm target shooting. And I'm getting some good footage of my form, so I can check out some things and see, okay, am I punching the trigger? Am I holding the, you know, am I torquing the bow? Am I holding it level and upright? So super helpful for that. Didn't really even think about that being a thing that I could do, but it kind of hit me as I was out there like, man, I really wish I could record my form. Well, the 5.0 with the bendy clip is fantastic for doing that. You can go check out Tacticam and all of their products at www.tacticam.com. They also just released their Reveal X Gen 2 cell camera, which is fantastic. So go give that a look as well. Also want to thank our partners over at Deer Lab. I have been using it throughout the spring, like I said, to track turkeys and sort of keep an eye on some of the fields where I had permission to hunt, but also looking forward to using them this fall as well. And I've been using them so far this summer, starting to get some deer pictures coming in, and Deer Lab has made it a breeze to be able to kind of keep track of all of my cameras that I have out in the field, keep track of all of my photos. I don't have to clutter up my computer with images downloaded to my computer. I just upload them straight to the software, and they are there on the website. You can get 20% off by using the code Wisconsin at checkout. You'll get 20% off of any of their plans. Highly recommend you go check them out. Also want to thank our partners over at Huntworth. I have been wearing some of their garments for several weeks now and have been really enjoying it. I know I've said it before, but that Shelton hoodie has very quickly become one of my favorite pieces of camo gear. Wore it out just the other evening, actually, to my favorite Mexican restaurant, and had a couple margaritas, had dinner with my wife, and it was a little cool in the restaurant, and that thing was super comfortable. Also been testing out their rain jacket, and I haven't had it out in like an all-out downpour just yet, but man, this thing is comfortable, and it's lightweight, and it's quiet, and so yeah, go check them out, www.huntworthgear.com. Big, big thanks to all of those partners for making this possible, and like I said earlier, big thanks to you guys for listening. Thanks for coming along for this journey that we have been on so far, and I've got a lot of big ideas, man. As soon as we get a couple of things wrapped up here, we're actually moving as well, so as soon as we get a couple of things wrapped up, we've got some new and cool stuff coming from the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast, some new content, some additional podcast episodes potentially, so be on the lookout for that. With all of that said, now let's jump into the conversation with Max Kulik. Joining me for this week's episode of the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast is Max Kulik. Max, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, Josh? I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so. Man. I don't remember when the first time we talked was, but when I saw your stuff on Instagram, I was pretty immediately like, hey, this guy needs to be on the show. And then we hemmed and hawed and things got turned around. And it was a couple of weeks ago. I was like, hey, really do need to get you on the show.
Yeah, that was great when you reached out relatively recently, you know, and I had been burning through your turkey content and some of the other content just recently. I told you that as before I came on the podcast here, and I remember when we first started talking because I specifically was looking on Spotify for something. I'm like, does there like a local like outdoorsman thing? I think I was actually searching to see if the Wisconsin Outdoor Newspaper had some sort of affiliated podcast.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I don't know if you read Wisconsin Outdoor Newspaper, yeah, but like, yeah. That's like, yeah, I mean, Pat Durkin writes in there, yep, a whole bunch, and like reading, I go through there, read all his articles. My dad's a huge fan of that. So it's like, oh, it's been in my house like ever since I was a kid. My parents had that, you know? And so I was specifically looking for that. And you had released a few episodes. And I was like, I started listening and I was like, this guy has a podcast voice. And what buttery tones. Yeah. Like it sounded very good.
I've got a podcast face too. So
yeah, it was, I listened to the episode, the content that you had out. I really liked it. And I actually, and I could tell right away that like you had mentioned, you're like, I'm in Southern Wisconsin, and I'm like, I'm in Southern Wisconsin. And, I sent you an Instagram message and was like, hey, I love the content. I could tell that you kind of wanted local stuff on, and I'm a fan of all kinds of outdoor podcasts. And I was like, you know, hey, if you ever wanted to talk or go hunting, I think I mentioned that too. Like if you wanted to hook up and, and get out, you know, let me know, you know, I love chatting with people. I'm a very social person. So I had messaged you and you were like, yeah, man, that's cool. Like, where are you at? You know, sometimes I get there trout around that area, trout fishing. And, you know, and then we occasionally talked and interacted, I think on Instagram, you know, as the internet age does, you know, liking each other's stuff and stuff like that. So,
yeah, man, I think that's one of my favorite parts about Instagram. I mean, there's the necessary evil side of it, right? Like when you've got a podcast, you've got to put your stuff out there so that people become aware of it, blah, blah, blah. The really positive side of things though, is that you get to interact with people that are listening to your stuff and you actually start to get putting faces with names, and all of a sudden you realize there's this whole network of outdoorsmen who are right here around you. And, you know, I've had a couple of other fellow Wisconsinites on and like small world, they're just like, oh yeah, I live in the same town as that other guy you had on. And I know him, I've known him since middle school kind of thing. And it's like, oh my goodness. Like it's small world.
Oh, good chance fly fishing just started following me and like, liked some photos. And I was like, awesome. Like I just was listening to a podcast when you had him on and guys telling your turkey stories and stuff. And stuff I like to hear, you know, and I think it's important, you know, it doesn't seem like it to like guys like you and I who are, you know, fully immersed in the outdoor space, but like, you know, there's a little bit of kind of a dying breed going on, you know? So I think it's important that we continue to network. And that's like talking with guys and gals that are like experienced hunters as well as ones that are new hunters, you know, hunters, fishermen, whatever, being outdoors. You know, it's important for us to interact like this. So, I mean, just since, I've moved to Southern Wisconsin and, had done, you know, more hunting on my own, away from like my, so I grew up on like 100 acres in like central Wisconsin. And, when I got away from that, like got away from hunting with high school buddies and hunting on our property and hunting on their property and hunting with the same, you know, four dudes that I did my whole life and kind of branching out on my own, you know, I've met like a handful of people, you know, you meet them in a parking lot or something like that. You meet someone on public land and eventually before you know it, you're good buds and going hunting and going and getting a beer afterwards, you know? So I think stuff like that's just that networking and stuff like that. It's fun. It's important, you know, we all got to play on the same team, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And that's, you know, I think, I see you wearing a THP hat. Like those guys have done a good job showing, you know, that side of hunting on public land and sort of striving to, you know, make those connections and, you know, like you said, talk with people while you're there, become like, be, but like, why do you want to have a bunch of enemies and competitors when you could have people that are like working with you?
Yeah. And that's, it's refreshing a little bit because growing up, you know, the older men that I hunted with, like my dad and my uncles and stuff like that, they're just top of the line outdoorsmen, ethical, good hunters. But boy, they were not fans when other people would show up at like a public spot, like, you know, and I never, and like my grandfather, both my grandfathers, both paternal and maternal, I came from everyone in my family hunted growing up, you know, so it was kind of like, I was just in it, you know, and I have to tell myself that like other people that I'm talking to, like not everyone, you know, is just like kind of born into that culture. So when there's newer hunters, you know, they don't. You know, it can be an intimidating thing to get people out. And, anyway, the way that they hunted and the way that they approached public land. And when they would run into somebody, it's just a totally different game.
Oh yeah.
How I've handled it as an adult, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Man, I remember that growing up, like, you know, being at a spot and getting dressed and ready and man, you see headlights coming. It's hurry up, grab your crap and let's go. Like, you know, get down like the trail 50
now.
Yards.
Like, all right, I'm going to see what's up, you know, here. Yeah. It was especially, you know, we would always, my dad's side of the family, we'd always duck hunt on some big swaths of public land in northern Wisconsin. And it was just like a rush to get to your spot and you're like, no one's talking to anybody at the parking lot. There's just like high tensions, you know, and I know, understand that, you know, in waterfowling, there's still some of that. There's still some of that going on, you know, in Wisconsin, that, you know, the boat landings get packed and there's a little bit, it's a little tense, you know, but, that's actually like this last few years, how I've met some really good friends is we show up at the same spot to hunt ducks and geese. And we're like, hey, let's combine forces. And then before you know it, we change information and we're hunting together like every weekend, you know? Yeah. So, it's just different stuff and it's refreshing to see more of that.
Yeah, you know? For sure. For sure, man. I do have to make one confession. So, you know, I meet guys on public land and we talk about hunting and I'll share with them what I'm doing. Like there was an instance a while back where, I'd forgotten something at home and I was leaving, but I had roosted a bird the night before and somebody else came in and they were like, they were pulled into the parking lot and I've got to leave. And I'm like, hey, where are you going? And they didn't want to tell me. They were like, north. I was like, okay, great. That tells me nothing. Where are you going? Were you going to go this direction? Yeah, I was going to go over there. So I was like, hey, there's a bird roosted right here. Don't bump it. Go shoot it in the face. Like, you know, go make it happen. You know, just trying to share knowledge. But I have yet to tell anyone that I've run into on public land that I host a podcast.
Ho, ho, ho.
Because I'm afraid, well, if they run into me on these spots, they're going to go back and listen to the episodes and be like, aha.
Yeah, you'd be like, okay, so he was triangulate your position. Be like, oh, he was chasing that big mainframe eight over here. I've seen the same one. You know, yep. He's going to go cut you off.
Yep,
you know?
That's right. So, that's right.
Well, I get it, man. You get the same feeling. It's funny. I had last year turkey hunting, I went to a rather large public area. And it was one of those things where I'm like, for a turkey hunter, I got up late. I was still getting there pretty early, you know, like 4:30, but I knew I was running behind. And so I like roll up there and there's two trucks and I'm like, well, I'm just going to just say hi and be like, good luck guys. You know, I hadn't roosted a bird or anything like that. I come in, I'm like, hey, how's it going? Where are you guys headed in? And they're like, oh, we roosted him over here. And then I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to head to a good spot. Good luck this morning. And one guy stopped me and he goes, pulls up his Onyx. He goes, do you have Onyx? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, there's three birds roosted right over here. And I didn't see, there's no trucks parked over. He's like, just go over there. He goes, we're going to stay away from there. And I'm like, kind of like, couldn't believe what was happening.
Dude, that's awesome.
And part of me was like, am I getting played a little bit? But like, it was getting to be late in the morning. And I was like, you know what? Worst case scenario, I'm still sitting in the woods. So I like go through this kind of like this little hellhole ravine, like in the dark, I crawl down there and I'm like, man, I really hope there's birds down here. You know, I'm almost tripping. I can't see anything. I didn't want to flip my light on. And I get down and I sit and I'm like, well, I'm just going to listen. And if you wouldn't know it, there were six gobblers roosted like right on public, like on a ridge, just like right where the guy said they're right where they said they were. And I ended up not getting a bird, but I got the whole show. Like they flew down and it was one of those deals where they came down with like eight hens and the hens, like the hens messed around. The hens like came into my decoy and those gobblers stayed at like 45, 50. And, I'm old school. I shoot an 870 Wingmaster with a fixed modified barrel. I shoot TSS out of it, but, I'm like very confident in my pattern out to like 35. So okay. I'm a get him in close type of guy.
Yep.
And, I have a reason for liking the old gun is because I have tried other guns. I have patterned like other guns that I have, other guns that I've inherited. And I'm like, this old gun just shoots great. And it feels good in my hands. It's, you know, it's your shotgun that you pick it up and you know, something's going to die type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I just can't get rid of it. Anyway. I mean, how great was that? That guy just put me on birds and it's, you know, I never would have known that if I wouldn't have just went to wish those guys good luck.
Yeah.
So
man, that's awesome. You can
be pleasantly surprised.
That is awesome. Well, all right. So we're a couple minutes in already, but hey, I do want to kind of circle back to kind of just the general profile stuff. Like, who are you? What do you do? What do you do for a living? What all kind of outdoorsy stuff do you do? I mean, obviously you turkey and deer hunt.
Yep. So, So I'm Max Kulik, as you said, right in the beginning.
Yep.
I, I was born and raised in central Wisconsin, kind of the a little bit eastern part of the state. I was raised on we lived in town when I was a little kid, and like I said before, I was born into a hunting family. Like my dad, I mean, as a kid, my dad was constantly he was bow hunting all the time. He was big into waterfowl hunting. He would hunt there's near that area. There's some large swaths of big lakes that are well known for actually when you were having your podcast with the Waterfowl Association on there, and they started talking about, I'm like, hey, you're spot burning to the, when the director there started talking.
Oh, they started dropping some names, and I'm not a big waterfowl hunter. So I was just like, guys, go for it.
they like went straight to the throat. Like yeah. They dropped very important names. I mean, any waterfowler listening to those was like, I was like, oh, Josh is a little too charismatic for this. I hope if he's going to get real big, people are going to know.
We'll keep that one under wraps.
But, anyway, so my dad would hunt these big areas with his buddies, with my uncles. So there was like constantly guys coming into the house. We had deer hanging in all fall. We had, you know, breasting out birds. My mom has tons of old pictures, you know, from the early 90s of, there's one that my mom was just showing me. She's like, oh, how cute is this? She's like, you should put it on your Instagram. And it was just like, it's a picture of me in a stroller and just like a pile of goose feathers, just like all over the garage floor. And my dad and his friends are breasting out a bunch of birds. And it was just a real cool picture. So just fully immersed in that, both my paternal and maternal grandfathers, they would hunt. My dad's side of the family primarily were like, they were hunting in Wisconsin. Like they were for lack of a better term, they were generalists. Like they were doing it all. Like they're hunting ducks and geese. They're hunting squirrels, rabbits. My grandpa would run, beagles. My grandpa was big into trapping. They deer hunted. They did the classic. I never really got to be a part of it, but they did the classic go up north deer camp like that until probably like the early 2000s. They were like a big up north deer camp family.
Wow.
So that was on my dad's side. And then on my mom's side, my grandfather was much more, and part of it was through his work. He did a lot of networking. And so he'd go like out west like fairly often. And so, you know, he was killing big mule deer in Wyoming. He's killing elk in the mountains, stuff like that. He's a big rifle hunter, always with a rifle. He'd go out to go out west for pheasants, bird hunting, stuff like that. So he was much more, he would branch out much more. But I think as a whole, like when they were at home, he would probably do a little less hunting than like high volume and then high adventure, you know?
Sure, sure.
So I was just like plopped into the culture. So I immediately loved it. I grew up hunting and fishing. In high school, I had buddies, you know, this, like I say, the same like four guys that I would go out hunting with. And when people would come out to our property, I'd go out to their property, stuff like that. Didn't do a ton of public land hunting when I was a kid. Like I said, it was always for ducks and geese, you know, getting into the big marshes or some of the big woods. I did a few times go up to the big North Woods, in Wisconsin and do some deer hunting, but kind of the same story as a lot of people got where you hunt for 4 days straight and see wolf tracks and bear tracks and not a lot of deer tracks.
Deer, yeah.
You know, that was, it was on the low end of the heydays, you know? So fully immersed in the culture, my wife's family, same thing. They're,
wow. Okay.
She's got three brothers. She has, three brothers, two out of the three are big into hunting and fishing. The other one, not so much, but he like just now as a full blown adult, he's shown some interest, you know, he'll go out with you and stuff. Nice. Like that. So it's all there. And they were like big in it. They were big. They are big deer hunters. Like they do the whole family deer camp and everything like that. Great culture, you know? And, so it's like here. And so, like as you had found out about me, you know, we have, my wife and I, we have two kids. My daughter is about to turn 5, and then I have a son who's just over 1. And like at a very, very young age, my wife and I are like on the exact same page, like outside, outside, outside.
Wow.
Doing as much as we can, you know. There's an organization that does like, it's called Free Forest School. And it's basically like small chapters of like, it's free, you know, meetups, and, you know, a bunch of moms and dads take their little kids and they literally just like toss them out in the woods, like on public land somewhere. They all meet up and they just like let their kids mess around in a creek, you know.
Dude, that's and awesome.
My wife has been taking my daughter that since she was like essentially a baby, you know. So that the pandemic put a bit of a halt to that, unfortunately. But anyway, so from an early start of our family, you know, it's been a huge focus to stay to stay outside and do as much playtime as possible, and really foster that that free play, you know.
Yeah.
And both my wife and I like to peruse Instagram. And so we, you know, and I'm like, hey, I like content, like people putting out content. You pointed out that I had a THP hat. Like I've been watching, I think I got on to THP after they had done like their whole first season together.
Okay,
and I remember seeing, Warb on old Cabela's videos. Like I recognized him. That's, I think, how I even started watching a THP video. Cause I was like, why don't I recognize that guy from somewhere? Like it was from a how to video, how to blow a gobble call or something like that, that I recognized him from. But anyway, so I really liked that this culture of like, you know, the putting out hunting content, like a real working man's hunting, you know, like, you know, pounding the pavement, pounding the trails, getting on deer, getting on turkeys, getting on, you know, waterfowl, doing it, a lot of DIY stuff, you know? So that's not to knock on other ways of doing it at all, but that's just, I really liked that. And I really liked the content people were putting out. And, so I'd be trying to take really cool pictures on my own Instagram. And I was kind of documenting a lot of stuff. And, my wife is also, she's a writer. She used to be the director of a nonprofit art school. So she also loved taking photos, stuff like that. And she was always real good at writing captions about stuff or being able to describe the experience. So, she's been writing for an online publication called Live Northerly, and they're very outdoor focused. We both just had articles in there. We shared them on our Instagram. I just did one about, taking your kids fishing.
Yep.
And just like getting them out and kind of the barriers to that. But, so we decided, my wife was like, let's just combine let's have a third Instagram, you know, and just do this Coolix by Nature and just do it and see who wants to look at it, and we can interact with people, with like-minded people, and hey, look, it worked out, you know.
Yeah.
Here we are, absolutely. You know, talking. So, you know, we continue to do that, and you know, we don't really have any end goal in it other than, you know, it's just a creative outlet for us to put stuff on. So, you know, that's kind of my background, and you know, I'm a generalist outdoorsman, so I do it all. Like it's sometimes it switches from year to year. Some years I'm a deer nut. Some years I'm a squirrel nut. When we first moved down to southern Wisconsin, I hit it hard, like for squirrels. I was
really?
I was just like obsessed. I had found as much like as big of timber as we can get down here, and I. Oh gosh, I bet I spent 50% of my days afield in 2014 hunting squirrels.
Holy
down here.
Smokes.
Yeah. Yeah. By myself, just stalking squirrels. I mean, it was,
awesome.
It was a blast. I loved it, you know? And now currently right now I'm in like I said, I've been doing all these like my whole life, like I'll hunt squirrels for a day or two, you know, at minimum, I'll always hunt opening day, northern or southern zone for ducks. You know, I'll hunt, you know, I always do the rutcation. That I always do. I'm always a rutcation guy. That's when I hit the bow hunting real hard.
So what are your, I gotta know. So this will be my third fall hunting Wisconsin.
Okay.
I've taken different dates both years on public land. What are your rutcation dates? Because I think I'm going to do it different than I did either of the previous 2 years. So what are your dates?
So for one, I'm typically hitting the public land during the week, and okay. then I'll go to back to my home, to the home farm, during the weekend. That's to try to stay away from the crowd. But it's also hilarious because our home farm, also gets, you know, so my family owns it with another family, and, they're great family friends. We've known them forever, you know, and they like, I joke that I'm like, well, it's basically like we're hunting, we pressure the crap out of it. They're, you know, come the hots, like we're out there. Well, I mean, you know, my dad's out there like every day, and oh, yeah. you know, everybody who's land, but everybody knows which big bucks are going where. And then, so it's, we are adjacent to a very, very large marsh, which is adjacent to a very, very popular spot that was mentioned by the so we do some serious duck hunting out there.
Okay.
And so, you know, it'll be like, you know, I don't know how much waterfowling you've done, but like rut time is also like you're hitting like primo migration, like okay. peak migration.
Yeah. yeah.
So, you know, when I'm going back home for that stuff, I've got my bow, I've got my waders, I've got my shotgun, got my decoys, got like, I've got everything. Cause I don't know how it's going to go down, you know? But I joke that it's, you know, it'll be my dad and I will be like hunting the top of our hill in some timber, and my neighbor will have him and three of his buddies down in the marsh. And so it'll just be, you know what I mean? Like we definitely crowd the area.
Just an all out assault on the deer.
Just all out assault on the deer, all out assault on ducks, you know? But you know, that's fall, you know, yeah. and we love it. Yeah. And everybody checks in, and you know, where everybody's safe about it. And we're constantly in communication with each other about, you know, who's doing what, you know? But anyway, this past year I started right away the week. I think I started hunting on Halloween.
Okay.
So yep. did Halloween. And then my goal this year was, so the year before last year, my rutcation lasted 2.5 hours. And then
oh gosh,
I was set up on a scrape and an 8-pointer came in and I shot him on the ground at 7 yards.
Oh, I saw. Yeah. I saw the pictures.
That was, so that was like kind of, so I had scouted that spot a lot. I had marked a ton of deer movement. I had a bunch of trails marked in that area. And my goal that morning was to back off of my target zone
yeah.
and glass into to be like, cause I wanted to know what the rut activity was happening. Like intel on the ground. I was like, I'm going to take this day off and I'm just going to like figure out what's going on. And then I'm going to get right at them, you know, when the wind is right some point this week, you know, and I get in there and I'm like, all right, the game's starting. Like I'm seeing deer move. And this is like, it's in a public area that, it's a real, real bear to get a deer out of there. So people hunt it, but they, I'm not trying to be like, well, yeah, I just got to hike way back in. But there's people don't go super far back in this area because it's like, you like break your knees trying to get deer out of there. So
can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Is it big or is it smaller? Or can we not say? We can talk off air.
It's smaller. It's smaller. I can off air. I'll tell you exactly where it is, to be honest with you, because okay. I don't think you're going to make it there. Okay. I mean, if you do, you do.
Okay.
It's smaller. Yeah. It's smaller compared to what is around.
Yeah. Okay. You know? Okay.
So there's like a certain part of it where it's just like extremely obvious where people hunt. Like there's stands there, like private landowners, like next door, put their stands up right there in the public.
Gotcha.
So I go past all that, being that nobody's there in the morning, you know, I typically just try to get there before everybody else. But anyway, I got to that spot and I'm like glassing into where I'm thinking the deer activity is, and there's deer activity going on. And come like 9 in the morning, I like see movement out of the corner of my eye and I'm like, no way. And I like I see a deer coming. I'm like, okay, buck. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to take this deer, you know? And so it's coming and I'm like, the wind is perfect. I'm like, he has no idea. And I'm like, just don't move. You know, I'm like, don't flinch, don't do anything. Cause I was like buried in a little bit of, you know, brush, but nothing too crazy. And he comes, gets to like out in front of me a little bit. I still don't have really a good area to draw. He turns, get behind a big tree. I draw and he comes right to, I had no idea it was there, a licking branch and a scrape. And he's just broadside at 7 yards, has no idea I'm there.
Oh my!
I'm goodness. Drawn and I just put it right in the boiler room. He runs 40 yards and falls over, you know? And I didn't know, like I shot and it was like, I was almost more concerned about why that worked out so perfect than I was about the deer going down. I was like, now how did, why?
Like, am I dead? So, real?
Yeah. And I documented this in my Insta story at the time. I was like, here's the scrape. Here's the licking branch.
Yeah.
Like I had no idea it was there. I was basically trying to gather intel off of different sign, not realizing I was set up on like hot active sign, you know? So, I spent the next 8 hours getting that beast out of there. You know, the rack was, it was nothing crazy. I'm also, you've said it before on your podcast, like hunt your hunt. And, when I'm out there on public land, you know, I'm going to take I'm going to take what the hill gives to me. As one of my uncles says, I have an uncle that the first thing that comes in, no matter what season it is, if it's a legal quarry, it's going down, you know,
yeah,
he goes, take what the hill offers is what he says.
Yep.
You know? So I was real proud of it. It was a half rack eight pointer and, it was a big deer. The DNR, I had it tested for CWD. So the DNR aged it. It's a 2-year-old. It was heavy, you know, so it was a bear to get it out there, but it was just a slow, but that was like, I think that was like November 8th, I want to say.
Okay.
So he was acting a little pre-ruddy. And so this past year, I really wanted to do my rutcation. I wanted to target pre-rut. I've in the past I've had better luck during the pre-rut than I have like peak rut.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, everybody has their preference, but like peak rut, you know, hunting at home, there's just like, I feel like I miss opportunities because there's almost so much chasing going on. You know, so I try to hit it to the point where they're aggressive and they're still like trying to work sign.
Yeah. Okay.
I would prefer to try to get after him then, you know? So I tried to plan around that this last year. So like I said, and I think I'm going to do the same thing this year, to be honest with you, like Halloween, that's going to be my kickoff to my rutcation. So we'll see.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick minute to let you know that the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast is brought to you by Tacticam, makers of the best action cameras on the market for the hunter and angler. They're on the cutting edge, making user-friendly cameras to help the everyday outdoorsman share your hunt with friends and loved ones. They also just launched the Reveal X Gen 2 cell camera that provides top-notch photo and video quality at a price point that's in reach for the everyday outdoorsman. And one area Tacticam really shines is with their mounts and adapters that are made with the sportsman in mind. If you've tried to film your hunting and fishing excursions, you know how frustrating it can be to try to get an action camera aimed just right or get it attached to your weapon or in a good spot for a second angle. Well, Tacticam makes all of that a breeze with their line of accessories. This fall, I'll be using their stabilizer mount on my bow with the 5.0 camera and their bendy clamp paired with the 5.0 wide camera for a second angle and to make sure that I don't miss any of the action. To learn more and check out their full line of products, head over to their website, www.tacticam.com. Share your hunt with Tacticam. This episode is also brought to you by DeerLab, the number one trail camera app for hunters and land managers. DeerLab gives you a simple way to store, organize, and analyze all of your trail camera data. DeerLab has tons of great features like the ability to filter photos based on what's in them, like deer or turkeys or people. It syncs your photos with local weather to help you pattern your target. And you can even mass edit your timestamps if you're a goober like me and you forget to set the correct time on your camera. Head over to DeerLab.com to check them out.
You can use the code Wisconsin at checkout for 20% off of any plan. That's 20% off of any plan. Just use the code Wisconsin. Now let's get back to the show.
So 2 years ago, a bulk of my hunting was in like that 10th through the 14th. And dude, I saw some absolute giants. Like, had a legitimate 150, 160 inch deer.
Oh, wow.
Blaze past me at Mach 5. Just didn't even slow down. And then had another 135 inch deer that was obviously much older come like rushing out of the bedding areas. I'm grunting at this one buck to try to stop him. This other deer, older deer, but smaller deer, comes running out. Apparently he had just run that other buck off, and that's why he was running like he was. So this other buck comes charging in, and I get done, and I'm like literally about to throw up. Like, so just, and I had missed an 8-point earlier that morning. So it was just like insane movement. But then last year I took the first couple of days of November off, and I saw a lot of does with not a lot of bucks around them. And then saw a lot of bucks kind of cruising back and forth by themselves. A lot of young bucks moving by themselves. And then my cameras kind of started to light up around the 5th. Okay. And that 5th through 12th, had a lot of bucks on camera, but they weren't checking the scrapes. They were just passing them, you know, so it's not, they weren't working them or anything like that. So anyways, I'm torn. I don't know what I'm going to do this year.
I will say that I'm a real big, deer hunters got their what they think is going to be best. You know, guys that play the moon, guys that play this and that. And I'm a big weather guy. I'm like, if I can get like, I'm like, I want cold. I want it to be like so cold that I can't stand it. And that's like, that's a day where I'll be like, I'm going to try to sit all day long. You know, like I will pick that day to, you know, part of it maybe is just self-torture, but I'm just like, I those are the days where I'm like convinced, like the days where you can barely hold on to your bow are the days where I've seen, you know, historically I've had like some of my most, the most action packed, some of the biggest deer, you know, so, I don't know what I'll do this year. It'll probably, you know, it always also depends these days. Like I said, I have two kids and they're involved with stuff. So yeah, life happens with all of it too, you know?
Yeah.
Last year I was also guilty of, during my rutcation where, my wife was teasing me. She was like, she's like, go get a deer. You know, we eat, mostly wild game for the most part. That's our meat protein comes from wild game. So she's like, you know, we're running low on venison. You didn't get anything early season. She's like, I'm sick of eating geese. She's like, go get a deer. And, I was the fields that I'd been scouting that I had permission to goose hunt on with buddies that rutcation week also coincided with a huge push of migration.
Oh.
So I went out, I honestly went out two or three, I should have been out hunting the rut, but I was out goose hunting and shooting limits, you know, and out there doing that, cause I couldn't help myself, to be honest with you.
Sure.
So there's just, waterfowl is a lot of fun, man. You got to try it. So, maybe I can get you out.
I'd love that.
There's nothing like it, man. Just fooling a big flock of birds. Just, they're just like screaming in your face, honk, 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 and you're screaming. And it's just, it's intense. It's more intense than, you know, guys that do primarily deer hunting that have never really got super into waterfowling. It's something, man. Like one of my good buddies who had never really waterfowled before until he had met me and I took him down to the Wisconsin River and he was like, this is insane. He's like, this is so much fun, you know? And then the first time that, I took him out on a field hunt, we were hunting the X. So like there was going to be geese coming and they showed up, you know, and they come in and they set their wings and that's like, they're practically going to land on us. No one, we're not calling the shot yet. So the anticipation is there. And I just heard him go, oh my God. And you know, awesome. You know, we pop up and we drop a few birds and he's just like shaking and he's just like, oh my gosh. He's like, that's like an interaction with a big buck. He's like, that's crazy. He's like, this is awesome. You know? So That's my pitch for,
man. You know, I've never really done any waterfowling.
Yeah.
Like none. And for me, it's probably because that time of year I've always been so guarded for deer season, but I think this year I'm going to try to be more of a generalist when it comes to hunting and really try to focus a lot of my deer hunting time around that rut time frame. I had some good interaction or good encounters with deer the other, you know, during early season as well. But yeah, I feel like the areas where I'm hunting right now, I have such good opportunities during the rut that mm-hmm. it's okay to kind of put it off mm-hmm. until then. You know, I grew up like, man, you might have one encounter with a buck all year long and you don't know when that's going to happen or where that's going to happen. So you start early and you finish late. And here it's just not quite like that. Like I can expect at this point with the quality of the public lands here, I can expect to go out and see deer every sit. And I can expect an encounter with a good buck that I would like to shoot on 4, 5, 6, 7 occasions, you know, throughout the course of a year. And mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to delay some of my deer hunting a bit this year.
And that's, you know, that's what I love about, you know, I by no means am a know-all about, you know, the Wisconsin deer herd. You know, I'm at the mercy of reading what I can on the CDAX and what the DNR puts out. But, you know, I've hunted a lot of public property for deer in southern farmland. And during the, like, the deer are around. They are moving. They're around. They're coming from everybody's property. Like, there is no, that's why I target. That's why I hit it hard, you know, during the rut. Like, I'm fine with not really doing too many sits in October and focusing on other stuff or, you know, not doing too many early season sits. I will say though, last year I went back home and I hunted one weekend in September and I saw like three real good bucks. And I had two, let's call them opportunities cut just short.
Oh, no.
I had one buck come in on the opening day on the evening of opening day. And he came, I was sitting over, we have one of our food plots. It was all alfalfa and there's a section of turnips in there and he was coming right along the edge. And I don't know if he got spooked or what his deal was. He was acting weird for an early season deer. Huh. He came like kind of running out of the marsh and he was just heading right towards me. And I'm like, you know, scrambling like, oh my gosh, this is, and at the time, you know, early season and certain parts of the season, I tend to be all of a sudden I'm this big buck hunter. And then other parts of the season, I'm like, all right, whatever's coming by here, got to fill the freezer, you know?
Yep.
So, at that point I was a big buck hunter, you know, I had watched a couple small bucks and I was like, oh geez, let them get big, you know, knowing full well that I'm going to toast one of these in gun season if I get the opportunity. you know, letting those ones go by and this real nice buck comes and it was like, I told my dad, I was like, Dad, what cologne were you wearing when you cleared out this tree stand? Because this deer came like around the corner, got to the shooting lane and his head like got in the shooting lane and he just stopped. Mind you, the wind is in my favor and he just looked straight up at me. And I was like,
really?
Oh, it was a moment. Part of it was that particular tree stand has been there for, we've killed lots of deer out of it with the gun, with the bow. It's been there for a very long time. This buck had been around the moon or been around the sun a few times. So I think he just knew he was just a smart buck. You know, he knew like, oh no, like don't round this corner, you know?
Wow.
And he looked up at me, you know, I'm frozen. I wasn't even drawn yet. It was all happening so fast, you know, and he kind of sidestepped and he was like, it's like he knew where the 30 yard mark was, you know, sometimes they're just, you know, so I had that missed opportunity. And then the very next evening, another nice shooter buck, not the same buck, a different one. He came and he did get in the shooting lane, but, and I know you've said this on your podcast before, I was looking at my phone.
Oh,
so he's, and luckily for me is when he, I try to justify it, you know, Josh. So I was like, well, you know, when he stepped into the shooting lane, he was quartering to me. So I probably, you know, I wouldn't have gotten a shot anyway,
no.
You know?
No,
so,
but
no, I'm pretty sure at one point he did turn broadside, but I like reached for the bow and it's just like dead silent, you know, a nice, beautiful September evening. It's like dead silent, except for frogs and the mosquitoes buzzing in my ear. So like, you know, I reach for this bow and like the second I grab it, he's like, whoa. You know? So, you know, there was two opportunities that were a real bummer. And, I never saw those two again for the rest of the season. And I ended up last year, hitting a nice one that I never recovered. Real bummer. One of those ones where I thought I put it right in the crease. Turned out the shot, I think what ended up happening was I shot for full broadside and he was quartering away. So I think I was a little tight to the leg. And I think it hit one lung, like maybe nicked one lung, missed the heart, might've been a little low. You know, bled real good for like 200 yards. And the second we made it like 200 yards with good blood, I was like, this is going to be a rodeo, because he would have piled up in 200 yards, and it ended up being like we had to get the neighbors involved, and it was like they were out there hunting, so I ended up jumping him, and then they didn't know, like it was like part of the people that hunted that property knew I was looking and part didn't, and then someone jumped him with a truck, somebody's driving their truck, and they jumped him, and then he went into the marsh, and we just like we got into water up over our heads, lost blood trail, like we were following like drops of blood that were like sitting in the water, like it was real. But I did get closure. I actually got a text message from my neighbor during the thaw this year, and he texted me and he's like, is this your buck? And it had doubled back. It must have doubled back like the next day. We tried, so the next day we had of course 4 inches of snow, so we had everything just got covered up, so like it was like we just didn't even have any basis on what to go on. So anyway, my neighbor texted me and he goes, is this the one, you know, and I'd been texting with him and I'm like, yep, there he is. And sure as heck, you know, he had real distinct, he had some junk on one side, that was very distinct. So,
did you wasn't
by any means like an absolute giant, but, it was a good buck, you know,
did you get the rack?
No, I said, I was like, hey, you know, I was like, you can have it if you want. I don't know. I didn't feel like I need them. Didn't feel like I earned them. It was on their property. I'm like, hey, you found a nice deadhead. Pick it up. You know, if you want it, take it. You know, I don't, I'm not real big. I'm not a big like shed guy. Like, you guys that real love looking for sheds. I'm like, I'm in the camp of like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I really enjoy looking for sheds. I'm really bad at finding sheds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, I think it's more about the looking and what I'm finding and seeing that time of year. Yeah. Cause like I come back and I'm not like, bummer, I didn't find any sheds. I'm like, I found a scrape over here and a whole side covered in beds.
Gathering intel, for sure.
Well, man, so dude, you were like the definition of a generalist, and like you were the guy that the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast was kind of started for. You know what I'm saying? Like the guy that just does it all in the state of Wisconsin, who can celebrate the fullness of the outdoor heritage here. I mean, because man, there's so much to do. Like, how can you possibly limit yourself to one thing? You know, for me growing up, it was always like, you know, it's all deer all the time, or it's all fishing all the time. Like, I'll never forget the first time I heard Mark Drury say that he liked turkey hunting more than deer hunting. I felt like I had been betrayed. Like, you know, when somebody that you've always viewed as like a hero in your eyes, you find out they've had like some significant moral failure. I felt like that's what happened. Like, I was like, Mark, no, Mark.
What are you doing to me?
Yeah. I mean, I just felt so hurt by that. And then though, I come to an area like this and all the opportunity around, and I get into turkey hunting and I get into trout fishing, and I, you know, become much more well-rounded as an outdoorsman. And, yeah, man. So I dig it. Well, So I want to circle around to one of the reasons that I really wanted to have you on is some of the adventures that I see you having with your kids. And you mentioned a minute ago, you recently wrote an article about taking your kids fishing, right? Yep. I live in this constant tension where I think a lot of guys are. So I've got three kids. I've got a 7, about to be 8-year-old in 2 months. I have a 6-year-old and a 3, about to be 4-year-old. So hands are full, lots going on, lots of fighting pretty much all the time. And I find myself in this weird tension of like, man, I really want to get them outside and I really want to get them involved and I really want to get them plugged in. But I also really want to fill a tag. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really want to do it myself. And I really felt that this turkey season when, you know, there were a couple of occasions where my kids wanted to go, but I didn't take them. And it was because it's like, I've got a day left. Like, this is the last morning of this tag. I really can't do it. You know what I mean? And so tell me about how you, why that's so important to you guys and what you do to kind of like work through some of the internal angst that I'm sure that it brings. I know that it brings because I saw on your Instagram page the other day, the picture of you guys and like a beautiful picture of like the outdoors. And you were like, then the reality, you know, I forget exactly how you explained it. You were like,
yeah, we were in the Rockies. We were in the Rocky Mountains and it was, we were on a, it wasn't even a big loop. It was like a 1.25-mile loop. And man, it was just like a struggle. Like it was like everybody's, my kids were like my littlest ones, like sunburned from the day before. Charlie, my daughter is like, she's got to climb. She's got to climb everything. She's got to be, and we foster, like we foster this. We like this. Like I,
sure.
You know, we encourage, you know, like, I'm like, go off the trail, do it, you know, don't step in that, you know, within reason. I'm like, and be like, don't touch that poison ivy, you know, stuff like that. But, yep. You know, go out there, you know, fall down, you know, it's good. You know, it's good for them to, let me preface by saying I am not a child psychologist or anything like that. So everybody should do what works for their family, but
well, my wife is. So,
oh, so does she think, she doesn't think I'm like a psychopath or anything?
No, man, she's not a psychologist. She's a child therapist, but she is like the biggest proponent of getting kids outside, reconnecting them with nature. She's like, that's what all of our brains need.
Mm-hmm.
They need green space.
Yep. And so with the kids, it's like I said, so I got those opportunities when I was young. And it stuck with me and it like made me want to get outside as an adult. I really think that like when I went to college and I started meeting other people and started to see, you know, could like, you know, there's those sayings where people, you know, some people be like, well, I could tell they never took their kid to church, stuff like that. You know, I find myself thinking, I'm like, boy, you needed to get outside more when you were a kid. Like, why, oh, yeah. You know, like, you know, get some stuff under your fingernails, you know, get dirty, go climb trees, you know, do something. So, you know, having kids, that was just a big focus of our family. And so now when it comes to hunting and fishing and me being like, I love hunting and fishing. I want to get out as much as possible. You know, I could have looked at it as, and I'd be lying if I said I still don't have these moments where I'm like, oh, they make everything so hard.
Yes.
Like I'm not going to be able to go hunting enough this week, you know, stuff like that. Or I could turn it into, hey, I've got this opportunity to take them out. I want them to at least give them the opportunity to enjoy it as much as I do, you know, however, without making it, you know, a terrible experience and without, you know, getting super frustrated with them, without, you know, throwing them in a boat at 4:30 in the morning in April on the Wolf River and there's like ice on their face, you know, there's got to keep it within reason. And so, and there's plenty of times where I still like, I tell my dad, I'm like, you are really lucky that I like doing some of this stuff, because I think of some of the stuff that I did when I was a kid, like my dad and my uncles packing me and my cousins up. And I remember I remember my dad got permission on a farm and we were hunting ducks and geese. This was like in the heyday of a certain area in Wisconsin that's, it's not as good anymore. It's still good, but it used to be like the mecca of, you know, of this fly, of Wisconsin's flyway. And my dad had gotten permission, and it's like we drive onto this farm at like 2:30 in the morning. There's like a pack of like super mean farm dogs. It's freezing cold. I'm underdressed. Like there's my, like for snacks, there's like a half an onion and a can of sardines. I'm like, Dad, how did I enjoy this? You know?
Yeah.
But I did, you know, and those memories stuck with me. So, so it's important I found it important to get my kids out. And so, you know, I think, you know, you're justified in having those feelings, and I do it too, where you're like, I want to fill this tag, or there's going to be good hunting today. You know, maybe today's not the day. At the same time, I truly do try my best of having a policy of, you know, if they want to go, it's hard for me to say no.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, you know what? I don't want them to ever feel like I don't want them there, you know,
sure.
even if I don't,
yeah,
even if
yeah.
I truly don't want them there,
yep.
I, you know, and so, also I think that makes them want to go more because there's also the flip side, Josh, where I've done, where I'm like, you're coming with Dad, like
yeah.
You need some outside time.
Yep.
We're going to go in the woods. We're going hunting. You know, I don't care if you're eating snacks the whole time, or heck, I honestly don't even care if you're watching Netflix on my phone with some earplugs. The fact that you're out there, that's important. And it's so funny because, I've done that too, where I'm like, I want to get the hunting experience. You know, I want my daughter to tag along, but I also, I'm like, there's a chance I could be successful with this, you know, tonight,
yeah.
You know, in terms of like hunting, you know, in terms of filling a tag or getting some ducks, getting some geese. So I will like be like, here, watch, here's your show. Watch this, put these headphones on, watch the show. And it's so funny because you'd think that, the way that people talk about kids these days, that they'll just zone out on that thing. And I find that she'll look at that for, even if it's her favorite show, she'll watch that for like 10 or 15 minutes. And I'll look over and she'll have it down. She'll have taken her earphones off. She'll just be looking around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that's just amazing to look. It's just amazing to see, you know, even if, you know, last year was real funny. We went to this place that we call the Big Woods, and we went squirrel hunting, and a lot with the kids, it's, people always say, go take kids on their first squirrel hunt. I'm like, how do people kill squirrels with kids? Because you got to sneak up on squirrels, you know? So unless you're hunting some really dumb squirrels, which maybe, but, anyway, so, we go hunting and she's been doing a real good job. She's like being quiet, and we're sitting there and I can hear like some scratching and going through the leaves. And I'm like, okay, so one's coming, you know? And I was like, you know, Charlie, here they come, you know? And then it like rounds the corner and she's like, Dad, it's like, she goes, there he is, you know? And, and squirrel takes off, runs away. No big deal, you know? So it's just a lot of that type of stuff, and yeah. You just got to love it, you know?
Yeah.
So I've taken her out, fishing numerous times. I mean, we go fishing quite a bit. I'm trying to convince her to go tomorrow morning a little bit after work. I've taken her that, taken her duck and goose hunting. I put her in a layout blind, we give her some calls and just let her blast on them.
Nice.
She loves that.
Nice.
And it's like building a fort, you know?
Yeah.
She just can, like, I just like cover her in corn stalks and she thinks it's the coolest thing, you know? We've had some success there. I took her on a rut hunt last year. I did one evening, and
did you,
it was
really?
So funny because it was like, I was explaining to her afterwards. It was like the quintessential public land hunt. We didn't see any deer, but we saw four or five hikers. We saw two other hunters that just blew right past us. two other hunters that
they're like, what is this guy doing out here with this kid this time of year?
Yep. And then like someone else that I don't know if they were parked somewhere else or if they were a private landowner nearby, someone that accessed it from a different spot, but they're in there shooting at squirrels, you know, and we were packing up and my daughter's just like, boy, there was a lot of people in there and there wasn't very many deer. And I was like, you know, I was like, it happens sometimes, you know, everybody can be out there doing their thing. You know, they don't have to be out there hunting, you know, but, she had a good time and we were tried rattling and stuff like that. And she thought that was a lot of fun. And, so it's, I never am like, when I take her out, regardless of how hard it is, and I'll tell you what, man, taking, like when I take her out to go hunt geese, I'm carrying in a sled and the truck and then by hand, like two or three loads. I've got like 15 dozen decoys, you know, two layout blinds, her, I'm pulling her in a sled cause heaven forbid she walk, you know, it's work, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sweating and then I got to pack up like in the dark and I got to keep track of her. Cause that's fun in and of itself though. You know, I give her her own little headlamp and she's running around like crazy cause she's just excited to be outside at night.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
There's no street lights, you know, she's not in the house. She's not, you know, sitting in front of the TV. It's just a different, they like that. Like the kids love that stuff, you know, just being out there. And so it's hard. But I've never been like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have brought her this time.
Sure.
You know, yeah. It's never been like that.
Yep.
So, I'm going to continue to do it and it's going to continue to be hard. You know, and, you know, you got to do it safely as well, you know, give the safety talks and especially with, you know, having firearms around little kids and you lay the ground rules, make them understand that it's a tool for food acquisition, you know, stuff like that. And I'd imagine it's going to get harder when Harvey, my son, when he gets to be the point where he's going to want to come too, and I'll have to be dragging. Have you ever dragged all three of them out at one time?
No, sir. No,
sir. Have you done two at a time?
Now, okay. So we've done like hikes and stuff and
we've
gone scouting. We've done all that with all three,
yep.
But I have never taken all three hunting.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not,
they won't be quiet. Not at all.
No, and I haven't even taken two of them hunting because I've always, like you said, the safety thing and all of that.
Yep.
It's for, in my opinion, it's just easier to handle one of them. And I feel like once I've got one that I'm like, okay, you get it.
Yep.
You know what
yep.
I mean? Then I'll kind of start to branch out and bring in two or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And up here, it's tough here because, I mean, so down south in Alabama, we've got my dad's place. Right. Mm-hmm. And we can all go get in shooting houses and, you know, have a nice, comfortable sit for the afternoon or whatever. When we're here, man, we're all on public. And so it's just, it can make it really tough. I mean, it can be just a long walk just to get to a huntable location, mm-hmm. you know? And so, so it's been tough.
Yeah. I will say that one of my favorite, and you can see this on our Kulix at Kulix by Nature Instagram, some of my favorite hunting to get that I found, like, so I've taken her out since when she turned three, I started taking her out, is early season, like a dove hunt. And there's public land opportunities to do that, you know, in Wisconsin. You can go on the DNR website and they'll point you right to where you can go.
Yeah.
It's warm. You don't have to be quiet. You don't even have to hide, really.
Yeah.
And I found that, and last year was extra awesome. Cause I happened to have permission on, I had gotten permission from a farmer for early goose hunting on a wheat field. And we hunted geese there. And the geese in that area were just like, they knew what was up. Like they just like, even on day one, they just were not fooled. Mm. Like they were like, there are four guys with decoys right there. I am not landing there, you know? And it was like, we felt like the worst goose hunters on the planet. Cause we were just hunting this perfect spot and they were just like, oh, nope, not there. Nope. You know? But, the bright side of that whole thing was this cut weed field was just packed full of doves. And I took my daughter out there three times last year. And, you know, we were like, the action was so heavy. At one point, we were just sitting on hay bales and playing cards. Like, we were just like playing a little card game she had, you know, and like I said, just being out there. And, you know, we'd, man, you know, crack a dove. I'd be like, go get it.
That's awesome.
You know, so, you know, she loved it. And she loved, like, the other thing too is like, you know, also teaching them just an appreciation for the animal. Be like, you know, we're killing it. We're going to eat it. That, I mean, that's a big thing. Like, we're eating it. This is food, you know, respect the animal, but just also like they appreciate the animal. She gets to hold it. She gets to touch feathers. Yep. You know, it's something like it's important to have that connection. And we also foster that with live animals, mind you, too. Like, you know, go watch birds. Like, hey, look through the binoculars. Look at this heron. Like, this is great. You know, it's not all necessarily just about the dead one sitting in your pile. So, you know, that too is just, it's just huge. You can just like see it in them. You can see her really, you know, really she's learning something, yeah, you know? Yeah. So, and I've had, it's just like such, I've had so many proud dad moments, you know, taking her out and just hearing her say things that I know she learned from these experiences. Mm. So things like, well, for one, like I said, food acquisition is a big thing on our account. We do a lot of wild game cooking and stuff like that. And we eat wild game obviously all the time. Like her being like going to school and being like, well, I told so-and-so my friend that we ate all these doves and they were like, eh. And she's like, yeah, they can be food, you know, like just like very, like it has nothing. That's as awesome. It hasn't quite like, she's not quite to the age, or maybe it just doesn't occur to her that like that might not be exactly what her friend from school is having for dinner. Like, yeah. Like, yeah, obviously we eat chicken nuggets and stuff like that, like everybody else does too. But, you know, she says to a friend like, oh, I had a dove, you know, or something like that. I remember one time I came home and I had a slow day and I'd shot some pigeons and we fried them up and we had them for breakfast. And Charlie's just like, this is great. This is wonderful. You know, having this pigeon, just a rough pigeon, you know, it was just fine. Tasted fine. They're like a big, big, slightly tougher dove, really.
Really?
And yeah, they're fine. They're fine. They're good. I wouldn't pluck them and, you know, serve them to the Queen of England, but
okay. Yeah.
They're, I think I made an Instagram story last year. I had a mess of them and I cooked them super long till they got tender, shredded them up and threw them in a lasagna and they were great.
Nice.
You know, but, you know, she was, you know, like, this was great. And it just doesn't occur to her that so-and-so at school's not eating pigeon, you know, even on occasion, they're not eating a pigeon.
Wait, eating pigeon isn't normal for you?
Right. Yeah. Oh, you know, man. And, you know, hopefully a day doesn't come where she thinks it's weird, but it might, you know, but, maybe it won't. Maybe, yeah, getting these experiences won't, I like to think that it's good. It's good for her. So, I'll continue to do it. And let me tell you, Josh, it's hard. I mean, you can, everything about being a parent is hard. In my opinion, it's hard. It's a lot of work. It's extremely rewarding, you know? But it's a lot of work. And, I know that we're running short on time, so I don't want to blabber, but one other thing that I do want to touch on with that is, and I mentioned this actually in the article that I wrote about taking your kid fishing, a huge thing, is, within reason, especially with hunting, cause you know, there's safety issues, but I like to let them lead, yeah, within reason. Because I think they just pull a little bit more of a positive experience from it. I talk in that fishing article about, I've eaten a lot of fish in my life and I've kept fish, but I've never been one to be keeping suckers and rough fish and everything like that. We went fishing last year and, my daughter was playing for keeps. She like, I threw one back that she had caught and she went berserk. And I was like, she didn't like that idea. Cause she knows that we eat fish.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I try explaining to her that like, this one's not the one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And granted, like I said, within reason, cause we also caught some like sub-legal walleye, and I'm like, we have to throw these back. Daddy will go to jail.
And so, you like having daddy around, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, you know what? Fine, let's keep these suckers. And I'm like, I'm not going to trash them. Like, I don't, that's not what I do. That's not how I do this. If I'm going to keep it, it's going to get eaten somehow. I'm going to turn it into something, you know, and ended up finding out that it was awesome. Like, I've tried it like three different ways now, like this, some Red Horse sucker, and it's great. Like, I've done, I did sucker patties. I ground a bunch of them up, and I took a recipe from, you know, Hank Shaw.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. So Hank's got amazing everything. I took a Hank Shaw fish patty recipe. I kind of did my own little take on it just because of what I had around the house. Did those, and they were delicious. We all ate them. They were great. I didn't find anything wrong with them. The sucker fish tasted completely fine. And then we also did some, like, they're a very bony fish. I like sliced it real thin, tried to get it, it was a method where you use the grease to basically disintegrate the bones. And I did that and it worked. And all these Wow. like little bones, like they turned crunchy, and Charlie was like eating it. And she's like, this is delicious. And she just like pounded it, you know? And granted, I was like policing a little bit to make sure no bones were getting in, but I, you know, for the most part, and it was great. So it was like something that I never would have done before. You know, I would have went home empty handed, which whatever is fine. But now I know, I'm like, this fish that people don't often keep, and they're a good hard fighting fish. They're a native fish. They're a sign of clean water. Red horse suckers are, you know, and it's a perfectly great quarry, something that, you know, that I wouldn't have thought of before. So she taught me that. I let her lead, and I think it was a net positive. Man, so
I love that. And gosh, how many times have we been told, like, there are things you can't eat? And then right. You try them, and it's like, this is fine. This is just like the other thing I keep from here. You yep. know, like, there's oh, no gosh. Difference.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. And the other thing is different ways to make stuff that, you know, my parents or something, well, because they didn't do it, or their parents didn't do it this way, they're like, ah, you only can cook it like this because otherwise it's junk, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember the first time I had a medium rare goose breast. It was like I shot a young goose, you know, not shot up. And I cooked it. I cooked it on the grill and let it rest. And it was just like a perfect medium rare. And my dad was like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? You're going to get worms. And I'm like, no. he's like, really? You can? I'm like, yeah, it's a lot of people do it. It's you know, not totally safe, but I mean, it's as safe as, you know, eating a slab of New York strip rare, yeah. you know? So, you know, he was just like, I didn't know that. And then we had it and he's like, oh my gosh, this is great. Like it doesn't get that livery taste when you cook it and stuff like that. So just, you know, drawing on experiences, getting pulled out of maybe your specific comfort level. And I know I'm not the only person in the world that can say we can learn a ton from kids, you know, from a mind that didn't have to go through the ringer yet, you know.
Yep.
That's making their own experiences. So you know, I'll just keep on keeping on. I'll continue to do it, and at least doing my best, you know. So yeah. That's the other thing. We're all, as parents, we're all out, or at least we should be, we're all doing our best. So
just trying to hang on.
No mom. Mom or dad out there that's trying to get their kids outdoors should never feel bad. You know, if they're making an honest effort. Things, it's just hard. Like we're working, we've got a million things going on. Even the little things that you can try to get them out, like take them for a hike, you know, take them on the paved trail, do something, you know. You know, that's just my ploy for getting outside, and maybe you'll find out that they really, really like it, and they'll just keep, you'll keep being able to expand on those experiences. And if we want to keep, you know, keep our hunting tradition, you know, keeping the hunting traditions alive. I know that just saying that, you know, that gets preached on all the time, but it's true. You know, if we want to keep traditions alive and we want to keep, acquiring your own food is extremely important.
Yep,
you know,
absolutely.
Having that skill set, I think, is just, you know, there's a lot of skills I don't have, but I'm really glad I have this one.
Yep.
I'm really glad it was taught to me. I'm extremely thankful for being brought up in that. And I will, you know, I will help other people the way that I can. I'll help my kids learn, hopefully learn that. You know, And also keep my expectations in within reason to for my own mental health, you know. So
yeah, man,
it's all a balancing act.
That's such a big part, those expectations, like keeping those in check, especially when you're taking your kids out. Like, man, managing that has been a not a challenge. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe before, like, for I'm thinking about the turkey hunt specifically that I took my son out on this year. Maybe I just didn't think about what my expectations were, you know, but they were there. Obviously I had them. I just hadn't really identified them. And so, you know, this coming year, I'll be a little bit better at saying, okay, I need to make sure that my expectations are realistic. You know,
didn't you guys have a pretty good encounter?
Dude,
if I remember correctly,
he had four turkeys gobble right in his face at like 10 yards.
Oh man, that's worth the price of admission right there. That's,
and he was behind nothing but a turkey fan.
Boy, I bet you his little heart was just cooking.
He's hooked. He is absolutely hooked. So we were just trying to put a decoy out, you know, and these birds were like, I want that decoy. And so they ran right over to us, and man, it was just, yeah, it was incredible. So he's definitely hooked. But, you know, another thing that I'm working through, I think, is that piece of how much do you, when they say they're done, okay, we're done. I'm not going to push you too far. I'm not going to make you miserable. I'm not going to make you hate it. And then how often do you say, we need to stick it out a little bit more? You know, like, where's that line at? And I think it's probably different for every kid, but we found out with that specific hunt, we wouldn't have had that experience had I not pushed him a little further.
I absolutely do not find anything wrong with also get them a little bit out of their comfort zone, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, within reason, because I do the same thing. So I have like a mental script, like, you know, she goes, let's go home. And I'm like, give her a snack. You know, that'll give me half an hour. And I'm like, you can go better. And then I get to the bargaining where I'm like, look, sweet pea, it's prime time. Like, the birds are going to be flying. The deer are going to be coming anytime now. You know, I try not to lie, but I definitely build up like there's going to be something cool happen. And then when it doesn't happen, I just throw that lesson out there and just say that it's a lesson. And I go, well, that's hunting. So I definitely, like I said, within reason, I've taken her out a few times where it's like pouring rain and wind.
Oh,
and
okay.
I immediately know from like Jump Street that this is just like, not, I'm
this
like,
is not good.
This is, I don't want her to hate me,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
after this. So I'm like, you know, then I'll be like, maybe, you know, she says, okay, let's head her out. I'll be like, no, just a couple more minutes. And depending on her reaction, I'll willingly pack it up early, you know?
Yeah.
But I definitely try to push the, you know, let it get, you know, I try not to get like to the point where I'm like angry, like you're ruining the hunt type of thing. You know, sure. I try not to get to that point. Although I'd be lying if I didn't say I had some, last year, Charlie and I had gone, we were on a goose hunt. And it got to be like legit, like there was birds flying around. I'm like waving our flag, trying to get like birds to see our decoy spread. You know, we were hunting traffic. So, which means that we're hunting birds that weren't using the field. We're trying to hunt birds that were flying over us, you
okay,
know?
Yeah.
It was in peak migration. And, you know, it's like, there's like 20 minutes left of the season and it's getting hot. And she's just like, I want to go, you know? And I'm just like, I think I actually got to the point where I just like ignored her. I was like, she'll be fine for another 15 minutes,
yeah,
you know? And so I'm like, it'll be all worth it if I drop a goose and she can go pick it up. Cause she loves handling those. Like, she loves looking at those geese. She's like touching them, holding them, you know, she thinks it's the coolest thing. So, you know, like I said, I push it within reason. It's a balancing act. You know, you don't want them to hate it, you know, but it's important for them. At least I think, it's important for them to get put out of their comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I gauge the reaction. Every situation is different, but if you're on a good, if it's a good evening or a good morning, I always push for it. And I can almost always get at least another half an hour out of her.
Yep.
You know? That being said, I've had Charlie, fall just one leg down to her hip in an ice hole.
Oh,
That one I was like, yeah, no, we can go home.
That was
really hilarious because right away she didn't want to go home. I was like, let's go home. You're going to get really cold. And we weren't far from home. We were very close. So like, I had no real worries about like, we weren't like out in the wilderness, you know, which case I would have been like, we need to get out.
We need to leave. But,
I was like, we are in a safe area. We can safely get home. We can safely get to the truck. But initially she was like, no, she was the one that was like, no, just a little bit longer. And it was like, yeah, 15, 20 minutes. And she's, you know? We headed in. So, it's fun stuff trying to negotiate when to go out. And sometimes with fishing too, with ice, have you done ice fishing since you've been in Wisconsin?
I have not.
Oh my goodness, Josh.
I have not.
I do that a lot too.
Man,
that one is a great to get kids out ice fishing.
Yes. And my kids are chomping at the bit to do it. They have been chomping at the bit, but the only thing that's kept me in is like the whole, like, I don't even understand the whole gear thing with it. And
there is a lake by you, Josh, that is like,
oh,
good spot.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some really good places over here. So we'll talk more off air, but
yeah.
Why don't you tell folks where they can go to find more from you if they want to catch maybe an article that you've written or see what all you guys are up to on Instagram?
Yeah, so you can follow. So my wife and I have a joint Instagram account that we share as much of our hunting, fishing, gardening, general outdoor adventures with us and our kids. It's at Kulik by Nature, all one word, and that Kulik is KULICK and then just by Nature. Max and Megan, so we shared the majority of our stuff on there. If you have questions or people like Josh and I started off this whole thing talking about meeting new people and talking, you know, we get private message by people about, especially locals, you know, this is a relatively local podcast. I mean, right now you and I talking can't get more local than this. So, you know, we're always willing to talk and whatnot. So we, so that's where we share all of our content. And then there's a publication that my wife consistently writes for, called, Live Northerly. And let me make sure that they're it's just at Live Northerly, one word. So she writes for that, and I just recently wrote for them for the first time. Okay. I wrote for them about the fishing article, you know. And so my wife tends to write about camping. I'm trying to think what else she's written about. I'd have to look, but she recently wrote about, us go, we have a vintage camper. We have like a,
That thing, I think, is, it's a
78, Apache. It's an Apache Mesa, but we got it and it was like, it's a gorgeous vintage camper, but, you know, it's not without its quirks. But we picked that up and we try to get out camping as much as we can. That's another thing you do with kids, camping, but that's also that I find the hardest, to be honest with you.
Oh dude,
is camping. Like, we used to camp like when they were babies, and it was like, or like when Charlie was a baby, when Harvey, like we went last year, Harvey was a baby, and it's just like mosquito bites, like when they're babies, you got like bottles and you got everything. There's sand everywhere and it's tiring. It's rewarding and a lot of fun. Yeah, so
for sure. We've straight had to pack it up and go home at like midnight on a camping trip.
Like, I've heard that from prepared, a lot of parents.
Be prepared for that because they will not go to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's like, either I'm going to explode or we're going to go home.
Right. Sit in the truck. Do that. Cool off in the truck real quick.
That's right. That's right. Well, man, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate your time. And guys, if you're listening to this and you want to find out more, go check out Max and Megan on Instagram. Thanks for your time, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks for listening to today's show. Big thanks to Max for coming on and sharing some of his wisdom when it comes to getting the kids outdoors. Looking forward to having him on again very, very soon. Also, big thanks to all of our partners, Tacticam, Deer Lab, and Huntworth. Now, until next time, be sure to get outside along with your kids and enjoy the wonderful resource that is ours as Wisconsin sportsmen.